Segment 14. Shy, ashamed, awkward, like the tiger whose spring has failed. Thus, you higher men, have I often seen you slink aside. A cast which you made had failed. But what does it matter, you dice players? You would not learn to play and mock, as one must play and mock. Do we not ever sit at a great table of mocking and playing? And if great things have been a failure with you, have you yourselves therefore been a failure? And if you yourselves have been a failure, has man therefore been a failure? If man, however, has been a failure, well then, never mind. Segment 15. The higher its type, always the seldomer does a thing succeed. You higher men here, have you not all been failures? Be of good cheer. What does it matter? How much is still possible? Learn to laugh at yourselves as you ought to laugh. What wonder even that you have failed and only half succeeded, you shattered ones? Does not man's future strive and struggle in you? Man's furthest, profoundest, star highest issues, his prodigious powers, do not all these foam through one another in your vessel? What wonder that many a vessel shatters? Learn to laugh at yourselves as you ought to laugh. You higher men, oh, how much is still possible. And verily, how much has already succeeded? How rich is this earth in small, good, perfect things, in well-constituted things? Set around you small, good, perfect things, you higher men. Their golden maturity heals the heart. The perfect teaches one to hope. Segment 16. What has hitherto been the greatest sin here on earth? Was it not the word of him who said, "Woe to them that laugh now"? Did he himself find no cause for laughter on the earth? Then he sought badly. A child ever finds cause for it. He did not love sufficiently. Otherwise would he also have loved us, the laughing ones. But he hated and hooted us. Wailing and teeth-gnashing did he promise us. Must one then curse immediately when one does not love? That seems to me bad taste. Thus did he, however, this absolute one. He sprang from the populace, and he himself just did not love sufficiently. Otherwise would he have raged less because people did not love him. All great love does not seek love. It seeks more. Go out of the way of all such absolute ones. They are poor, sickly type, a populous type. They look at this life with ill will. They have an evil eye for this earth. Go out of the way of all such absolute ones. They have heavy feet and sultry hearts. They do not know how to dance. How could the earth be light to such ones? Segment 17. Torturously do all good things come near to their goal. Like cats, they curve their backs. They purr inwardly with their approaching happiness. All good things laugh. His step betrays whether a person already walks on his own path. Just see me walk. He, however, who comes near to his goal, dances. And verily, a statue have I not become. Not yet do I stand there stiff, stupid and stony like a pillar. I love fast racing. And though there be on earth fens and dense afflictions, he who has light feet runs even across the mud and dances as upon well-swept ice. Lift up your hearts, my brethren, high, higher, and do not forget your legs. Lift up also your legs, you good dancers, and better still, if you stand upon your heads. Segment 18. This crown of the laughter, this rose garland crown. I myself have put on this crown. I myself have consecrated my laughter. No one else have I found today potent enough for this. Zarathustra the dancer, Zarathustra the light one, who beckons with his pinions, one ready for flight, beckoning to all birds, ready and prepared. A blissfully light-spirited one. Zarathustra the soothsayer, Zarathustra the sooth-laugher, no impatient one, No absolute one. One who loves leaps and side leaps. I myself have put on this crown. Segment 19. Lift up your hearts, my brethren, high, higher, and do not forget your legs. Lift up also your legs, you good dancers, and better still, if you stand upon your heads. There are also heavy animals in a state of happiness. There are club-footed ones from the beginning. Curiously do they exert themselves, like an elephant which endeavors to stand upon his head. Better, however, to be foolish with happiness than foolish with misfortune. Better to dance awkwardly than walk lamely. So learn, I pray you, my wisdom, you higher men. Even the worst thing has two good reverse sides. Even the worst thing has good dancing legs. So learn, I pray you, you higher men, to put yourself on your proper legs. So unlearn, I pray you, the sorrow sign and all the populace sadness. Oh, how sad the buffoons of the populace seem to me today. This today, however, is that of the populace. Segment 20. Do like to the wind when it rushes forth from its mountain caves. To its own piping will it dance. The seas tremble and leap under its footsteps. That which gives wings to asses, that which milks the lioness, praise be that good, unruly spirit, which comes like a hurricane to all the present and to all the populace, which is hostile to thistle heads and puzzle heads and to all withered leaves and weeds. Praise be this wild, good, free spirit of the storm, which dances upon fens and afflictions as upon meadows, which hates the consumptive populace dogs and all the ill-constituted, sullen brood. Praise be this spirit of all free spirits, the laughing storm, which blows dust into the eyes of all the melanopic and all melancholic. You higher men, the worst thing in you is that you have none of you learned to dance as you ought to dance beyond yourselves. What does it matter that you have failed? How many things are still possible? So learn to laugh beyond yourselves. Lift up your hearts, you good dancers, high, higher, and do not forget the good laughter. This crown of the laughter, this rose garland crown, to you, my brethren, do I cast this crown. Laughing have I consecrated. You higher men, learn, I pray you, to laugh. Chapter 74. The Song of Melancholy. Segment 1. When Zarathustra spoke these sayings, he stood near to the entrance of his cave. With the last words, however, he slipped away from his guests and fled for a while into the open air. "O pure odors around me," cried he, "O blessed stillness around me! But where are mine animals? Here, here, mine eagle and my serpent! Tell me, mine animals, these higher men, all of them, do they perhaps not smell well? O pure odors around me! Now only do I know and feel how I love you, mine animals!" And Zarathustra said once more, "I love you, mine animals." The eagle, however, and the serpent pressed close to him when he spoke these words and looked up to him. In this attitude were they all three silent together and sniffed and sipped the good air with one another, for the air here outside was better than with the higher men. Segment 2. Hardly, however, had Zarathustra left the cave when the old magician got up, looked cunningly about him, and said, "He is gone. And already, you higher men, let me tickle you with this complimentary and flattering name, as he himself does. Already does mine evil spirit of deceit and magic attack me, my melancholy devil, which is an adversary to this Zarathustra from the very heart. Forgive it for this. Now does it wish to conjure before you. It has just its hour. In vain do I struggle with this evil spirit. To all of you, whatever honors you like to assume in your names, whether you call yourselves the free spirits, or the conscientious, or the penitents of spirit, or the unfettered, or the great longers, to all of you who, like me, suffer from the great loathing, to whom the old God has died, and as yet no new God lies in cradles and swaddling clothes. To all of you is mine evil spirit and magic devil favorable. I know you, you higher men. I know him. I know also this fiend whom I love in spite of me, this Zarathustra. He himself often seems to me like the beautiful mask of a saint, like a new strange mummery in which mine evil spirit, the melancholy devil, delights. I love Zarathustra. So does it often seem to me for the sake of mine evil spirit. But already does it attack me and constrain me, this spirit of melancholy, this evening twilight devil. And verily, you higher men, it has a longing. Open your eyes. It has a longing to come naked, whether male or female, I do not yet know. But it comes. It constrains me. Alas, open your wits. The day dies out. To all thing comes now the evening, also to the best things. Hear now and see, you higher men, what devil, man or woman, this spirit of evening melancholy is. Thus spoke the old magician, looked cunningly about him, and then seized his harp. Segment 3. In evening's limpid air, what time the dew soothing to the earth downpour, invisibly and unheard. For tender shoe gear wear the soothing dews, like all that's kind, gentle. Bethink you then, bethink you, burning hearts, how once you thirsted for heaven's kindly teardrops and dews downdroppings, all singed and weary thirsted, what time on yellow grass pathways, wicked, occidental sunny glances, through somber trees about you sported, blindingly sunny glow glances, gladly hurting. Of truth the wooer, you, so tainted they, nay, merely poet. A brute, insidious, plundering, groveling, the I must lie, that wittingly, willfully I must lie. For booty lusting, motley masked, self-hidden, shrouded, himself his booty, he of truth the wooer, nay, mere fool, mere poet. Just motley speaking, from mask of fool confusedly shouting, circumambling on fabricated word bridges, on motley rainbow arches, twixt the spurious heavenly and spurious earthly, round us roving, round us soaring, mere fool, mere poet. He of truth the wooer, not still, stiff, smooth and cold, become an image, a godlike statue, set up in front of temples as God's own door guard. Nay, hostile to all such truthfulness statues, in every desert homelier than at temples, with caddish wantonness, through every window leaping quickly into chances, every wild forest a-sniffing, greedily longingly sniffing, that you, in wild forest, among the motley speckled fierce creatures, should rove, sinful sound and fine-colored, with longing lips smacking, blessedly mocking, blessedly hellish, blessedly bloodthirsty, robbing, skulking, lying, roving. Or to eagles like which fixedly long adown the precipice look, adown their precipice. Oh, how they whirl down now, thereunder, therein, to ever deeper profoundness whirling. Then, sudden, with aim aright, with quivering flight, on lambskins pouncing, headlong down, sore hungry, for lambskins longing. Fierce gainst all lamb spirits, furious fierce all that look sheep-like, or lamb-dyed, or crisp woolly, gray with lamb-sheep kindliness. Even thus, eagle-like, panther-like, are the poet's desires. Are your own desires neath a thousand guises, you fool, you poet? You who all mankind viewed, so God as sheep, to God to rend within mankind, as the sheep in mankind, and in rending, laughing. That is your own blessedness, of a panther and eagle blessedness, of a poet and fool the blessedness. In evening's limpid air, What time the moon's sickle, green twixt the purple glowings, and jealous stealeth forth. Of day the foe, with every step in secret, the rosy garland hammocks down sickling, till they've sunken down nightwards, faded, down sunken. Thus had I sunken one day from my own truth insanity, from mine own fervid day longings. Of day a weary, sick of sunshine, sunk downwards, evenwards, shadowwards. But one soul trueness all scorched and thirsty. Bethink you still, bethink you, burning heart, how then you thirst, that I should ban be from all the trueness, mere fool, mere poet.